And like a launch. That's what we do. Classes in session, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah, typically Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and yes, Jacob, chairman of the boards. But Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, well, you know, you've heard it many times. That guy does a lot of things besides busted pencils. Full-time faculty administrator at Washington State University. Full-time dad with two daughters. Full-time Washington State hockey coach. And occasionally, he has a hockey game to go to. And this happens to be one of those days, Jacob. So I figure, you know, we'll cut him some slack today.
I like it, Tim, because I think it makes us seem a lot cooler because we've got a hockey coach as part of the team.
You
and I are leaving after this to watch more Star Trek, which is fine. You know, it's cool, but it doesn't make us seem as awesome as a tough mustache hockey coach.
Oh, so much to go on the hockey coach. However, Jacob, I may have to admit that my desire to finish this show and go watch Star Trek will probably be interrupted by needing to put in my time with Dancing with the Stars.
Tim,
I'm sorry.
Say it ain't so. Who's the big star this year on Dancing with the Stars, by the way? Did I hear right that Andy Richter is on there?
Oh, if he is, he's already gone from
poor Andy.
Actually, you know what? Here's the thing. Yeah, my wife loves the show, and I, you know, do what occasionally I, you know, put on a show that I like the show. But there is one where I was kind of like, you know what? Oh, that's cool to see that. But the Crocodile Hunter's son is one of the stars. And he's like really good.
Well, dancing a tango and wrestling a gator are basically the same activity, just in different formats. So it makes sense that those skills translate over to the world of the dance.
Yeah, well, I just want to hear him doing one of the dances, though. Do the crikey, you know. He hasn't done it yet, but so I know, yeah. But Johnny, hockey coach too. And every time I think about hockey, I just automatically go back to the Hanson brothers and one of my favorite movies, not just favorite sports and hockey movie, but the original 1970s Slapshot.
Classic movie. But Tim, do you know anybody who happened to be in Slapshot? Have you ever met any people? Can you tell us an anecdote, perhaps?
I actually met the entire War Memorial fans that were there for the filming of, because Jacob, I was one of those people.
No way.
Yes, you know, I mean, if you watch this one scene, they cut across the audience, the fans, and you'll see me, okay? Trust me, it's a real quick, they cut across the whole and there I was, but I was there. Yeah, interesting, filmed in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, at the Johnstown War Memorials. People going, they weren't Johnstown. No, they were the Charlestown Chiefs, but actually they were modeled off of a minor league hockey team in Johnstown, Pennsylvania called the Johnstown Chiefs. My aunt was from there. And when they were filming, they were like, hey, come down. They're looking for extras. And those extras, your job was to sit there and act like you're watching a hockey game.
Tim, you may call them extra actors. I call them essential actors here on Busted Pencils, because if not for them, the seats would be empty and the scene would be ruined. So thank you to our essential actors out there like you, Tim Slecker, making our movies happen.
I love being essential. But, you know, hey, class is in session. And I thought, Jacob, hey, you know, we all sometimes need to admit that we have things to learn. Or sometimes how to listen and to pay attention and to take in information and to process that information with as much objectivity as we can before we come to some type of a conclusion, right? I mean, that's what it means to be a democratic citizen, not a Democrat, but a citizen in a democracy. Is that we want critical thinking people who have the ability to, you know, parse with information, with facts, with situations, context, and come up with decisions that, you know, are grounded in that whole idea of being a democratic citizen, not being a partisan. Because that's what we do here at Busted Pencils. In fact, before we even get to that, Jacob, I was thinking, you know, Busted Pencils, democracy's digital asset. Thank you. Yeah.
Boom.
Right there. Boom. And why not bring in democracy's digital asset with, you know, a little bit of a democratic kind of lived lesson. And Jacob, you had sent me the Wisconsin Public Radio article, which, yes, people, WPR also puts out digital media, not just people talking. And it was an article that highlighted the Republican legislature and something they did, right? And people are going, oh my goodness, because, you know, they heard us, I'm sure, talking about, you know, the Republican state legislature in Wisconsin passing mandated 12-hour teaching. And we kind of broke that down and, you know, we kind of laid into the Republican legislature. And so it must be then, if the Republican legislature did something related to education, no need to read any further, right, Jacob?
I sent this to you, Tim, and I was thinking, oh, cool. Tim's going to come in fired up and angry about what those darn dirty Republicans in Madison were up to this week. And I was excited to hear that we're actually going to have a conversation about it instead.
Yeah, nothing there was... I'm like, okay, you know, so I say, listener, you know, and Jacob will put it in the podcast description for when you do this to get to that piece. But it, there were a bunch of different education things that they had passed. But the one that really got the headlines is that the Republican legislature passed legislation that kind of pushes what we call school district consolidation. Right. And
I'm interested to hear more about that, Tim, because I'm not overly familiar with what this is all about. I get that in the broad strokes and we can talk more about it. But it said there's fewer students than there used to be in Wisconsin. I think other states, yeah, too. And it's about consolidating those districts. What does that actually mean, though?
Well, I mean, you're pretty much spot on is to recognize that with declining population, declining demographics, particularly the K-12 demographic, if we're talking about schools, fewer and fewer kids, but yet the same number of, think about this, right? So last year at Wisconsin School, Elementary School X, there were 3 second grades with 22 kids in each of those 3 second grades, right? You're like, well, and that's why they have 3 second grade classrooms, because you need 3 classrooms to work with 3 groups of 22. Well, over time, when you're not growing or staying steady, you might be declining, which is a fact, there are fewer students, K-12 in the Midwest, actually in the Northeast too. Some of the few growing places, the out in the Southwest and some of the Southern areas. But, you know, the Northeast and the Midwest, there is a decline. We've talked about this. You know, there's a decline in college students coming. You know, there's an overabundance of old people coming, and there's an underabundance of youngins. And so think about this is that so over time, now, instead of three groups of 22, oh, my goodness, this school year, it looks like we're going to have three groups of 15, right? And you start thinking, and so at the building level, building principal, looking at that, has to start making a decision with the budget, which is because, let's be real, each student then is a certain amount of tax dollars that comes with them to help fund their education, which is, you know, paying the teachers. So if you've got, you know, do the math, that many less kids, right? But you're still paying for the upkeep of three classrooms and you're still paying for three teachers, but you're actually not bringing in the same amount of revenue. And so a school district gets into a budget issue there, right? So that's what we're talking about here happening, that school populations across Wisconsin are largely on the decline. And so this kind of gets to the point of going, holy crap, this is maybe not that much of a complex issue if we're only just really wrestling with numbers. When you sit down and go, so a school district, now let's expand that out to a school district that might have a high school, two middle schools, and five elementary schools. Now, all of a sudden, that school district actually needs to close two elementary school buildings because we need to bring those students so that we can have, you know, a mass of students that makes sense. But then you get to the point where you start looking at this and going, but those other buildings still require funding, upkeep, maintenance. And then the school district over in the next community is going through the same thing, and they've got fewer students and they've got buildings. And so what do you do? Because it's a public school system. And, well, you say, hey, maybe school district A and school district X, maybe you should become the new school district AX, and let's bring together all of our resources so that we could have, you know, hopefully a new thriving population of a robust enrollment. And so that's all we're talking about here. And actually, when you look closely and read too, the legislation actually creates a resource, in other words, cash, to help school districts that would be interested in consolidating, or maybe the other word people might get an understanding is to merge, to bring some multiple school districts together into one new one. And the legislation doesn't require it. It puts in motion an incentive to do it. And that incentive is also coming with cash to help that consolidation happen. And I read that and went, well, yeah, that only makes sense.
I've got the direct quote here from the article. Shannon Zimmerman, a representative from River Falls, says, this is a feasibility package. This is not a mandate. This is, if the school feels compelled to explore the option, we're giving them the tools to be able to do so. I think that makes a lot of sense. And from what you've been describing to me here on the show today, it does make sense. It sounds like cutting down on some of the unnecessary expense of heating and cooling and maintaining a school built for 800 when there's only 400 people in it still. That makes sense to me. If I could ask you, though, Tim, I mean, why are people opposed to this? What is the other side? I mean, what is it simply that, and I can see one thing right away, is it simply we care about our teachers and we can see that if we're cutting down on classrooms, that could mean less teachers? Is that the big sticking point, or am I missing something else in that too?
No, I mean, so the opposition to this is, yeah, I mean, it, okay, you're going to need fewer teachers.
Yeah.
You are. I don't like that. I don't like how that feels. I get that. And, you know, what I'm saying here is this is not something that you go, oh, the Republicans were right and we need to celebrate. No, it's they're just pointing out a reality. And so to this, to me, mm-hmm. it becomes a painful, though, process to actually do it. And here in Pennsylvania, I've seen it done a few times. And it is not something that just, woohoo, aren't we better now that we're all together? Because you got all kinds of things. Like you just said, first of all, actually that consolidation or merging typically then means that you have less both faculty and staff, right? So, yeah, there's going to be some cuts to do that. There's also the issue of maybe the school that was down the street from you, when this consolidation happens, now your kid's on a bus for 40 minutes going to the other school, right? And so that's painful, unpleasant, uncomfortable, something as a parent you go like, well, this doesn't make any sense to me and my child because school was right down the road. Everything was working out great for me. And so that's painful. And then the other part, though, too, is that, it, you know, not that we don't like our neighbors, but, you know, come on. We're the Steel Valley Ironmen, and you're the West Mifflin Vikings, and I'm never going to be a Viking ever because I'm an Ironman.
Yeah. I feel what you're saying. Yeah. It's funny. It's funny, Tim, because, you know, it's kind of like Dr. Pepper versus Mr. Pibb. The more similar you are, we're two towns right next to each other, the more that rivalry grows. And you feel like, no, you're sure our towns are essentially the exact same place here in central Pennsylvania. But darn it, we're on this side of the highway.
Right, you know, and my grandfather was a Viking and my father was a Viking.
Yeah.
And my kid's going to be a Viking and his kid's going to be a Viking. And you're like, well, maybe not. And having grown up in Pennsylvania, where I saw a significant one around the Pittsburgh area, particularly in, you know, after the late 70s and 80s and the you know, essentially the implosion of U.S. Steel. And truly, you know, a lot of joblessness, but then also population decline. A lot of these kind of small town, you know, river mill town school districts, they lost significant populations. And so I remember this is Swissvale, Hopevale, whatever. There were three of them, actually. And, you know, they were. I think they were like the Vikings, the Spartans, and the Warriors, right?
They're all a shade of warrior.
And, you know, the new Woodland Hills, they were the new Woodland Hills Titans.
They should have just been the Woodland Hills people who fight in different contexts to really encompass all the different mascots.
But you know what? I mean, that was 35 years ago, and guess what? It's Woodland Hills. I don't know. It worked out. Now, I'll point out one, though, too, where actually you also get a lot of friction on this. And this one is one of those ones you're going, oh. So I will point out that where my parents live in Pennsylvania, they're actually in a small, depressed, old mill town, Clairton, Pennsylvania, that has seen an incredible drop of school-aged population. In fact, K-12 is in one building.
Wow. Okay?
One building, and that's uncomfortable. But truly across the line, which isn't far, it's a stone's throw, the neighboring school district, Thomas Jefferson, is thriving. And you'd look at this and say, wow, shouldn't the kids of Clareton that are crushed into one single K-12, isn't this time for a consolidation? Because actually it will benefit the kids in Clareton to have the resources that a Thomas Jefferson has. Jacob, do you know what the pushback on that one is?
No, but I'd love to find out.
We don't want those kids from Clareton in our school district.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's sad.
You know, they're those kids.
This petty squabble, Tim?
It's not even and I'm being actually even more kind of cagey. No, Clareton is 95% African American.
Hmm.
And Thomas Jefferson isn't.
Though his children are half. Notably. I mean, so it seems that we're continuing a negative legacy with this line of.
But I mean, that's, you know, so there, you know, here's where there is just outright resistance when it would really be a benefit to another group of kids who just aren't getting the same resources. Because as we talk about in a democracy that has a public education system, public education is funded at the local level. Yeah. And so the idea that there are disparities in school districts within the same state, yes, that's a reality, because there's no tax base left in Clareton. And there is a thriving tax base in Thomas Jefferson. And so, again, you're looking at this. But I really wanted to say, you know, and this might be hard because there is a Democrat mentioned in there that, of course, his arms are flailing about how horrible this is going to be in Wisconsin. I know you're scanning it right now, but you know, and this just made me think, it's going, okay, what if this isn't a partisan issue? You know, and at what point does our partisanship get in the way of making, and Johnny would point this out, decisions that benefit the common good?
Yeah.
Right. Because that's what it means to live in a democracy. We want to do what's best for all of the people, our neighbors. And is this helpful in the sense to say, hey, you know, school district in somewhere in, you know, Racine, somewhere in Wausau, a couple different schools up there, would it be better for them to consolidate, merge, come together, and therefore kind of create more resources for all of the kids? And I think we need to be at a point to look at this one and say, I don't think this is a Republican-Democrat issue. I think this is an issue of the commons. That therefore doesn't make the mandate. Now, if this had been a required mandate, we might have a little bit more to talk about. However, even in this one, my example of Clareton and Thomas Jefferson, I actually believe the state of Pennsylvania should come in and say, you don't have a choice. This is happening, right? However, this isn't what's happening in Wisconsin, at least according to what we're seeing here with WPR. It is, you know, kind of acknowledging the reality on the ground and saying, hey, if you think about this, because we really think you should, here are some resources to help you figure it out. In fact, if you get even deeper into it, the resources actually are going to be used to help you decide whether or not it's something you would want to do. So actually use the resources to understand this problem for real. And there is a potential that you might come back and go, hey, you know what? Here's how we've figured out we don't have to consolidate. Thank you, legislature, though, for giving us the resources to do the self-study that was needed for us to actually go, here's why we actually can make it work without consolidating. So, you know, I just look at this as going, sometimes things aren't always Republicans versus Democrats. But this to me goes back to, what does it mean to live in a democracy? This is where being, you know, savvy with the media and reading and understanding, because factually, the Republicans did put forth this legislation.
Tim,
go ahead, Jake. No, I'm sorry.
I've been listening to what you're saying here, and I think that consolidation makes a lot of sense depending on the situation. And what we learned from this article, the fact that it is not a mandate and that it's voluntary, that it's providing the resources for these things if districts should choose to do so. I think that there's a lot to that in terms of recognizing the realities on the ground in some of these communities across the state. And what I would say is that a lot of those things that you brought up as the potential objections or things that people on the other side of the issue would have as issues with this as an idea, that those make sense to me too. But what I would tell people who are against this is, instead of just ignoring this problem that exists, how about say, well, this is how Democrats would propose consolidation. This is how a liberal or a progressive will propose consolidation. Work with this idea instead of just ignoring it. I think a lot of times that's a problem that we can run into, or that people who oppose things run into. There's a quote, and I do not know who to attribute it to, but basically they said that when the reasonable, moderate people in a country refuse to look at issues, then it's the wacko populist guy who will come in with an idea. Don't concede the issue to them. Come up with, how do we address that? And I think there's a lot of room for people to work together on this law that was presented by the Republicans and passed. I think it is a good starting point. And instead of rejecting it, just keep building on it and move it in direction in the minutia that you think it belongs.
Yeah. My goodness, Jacob. Why did you let me go on and on and on when you should have just said that to begin with?
I needed time. Claude was writing that out. I needed generation time.
Oh, good. Awesome. I love that. Yeah. So there it is. Because actually, there are going to be differences of opinions on how to go about the potential of consolidation, and actually save your differences, legit differences, for that conversation. The fact that Republicans on this one pretty much just called out the facts. Hey, let's be honest, nothing wrong with that. Now, though, we as Democratic citizens have the responsibility, Jacob, not the accountability, the responsibility to now participate and help this be the decision that truly does serve the commons, or particularly when we're dealing with schools, how does it make things best for kids, right? And again, yes, Democrats and Republicans may have differences of positions, of procedures about what's best for kids, but the conversation about acknowledging the facts on the ground, be real and let's go with it. And I'd say, you know, hey, that's what we're all about here, you know, busted pencils, man. Jacob, you know, democracy's digital asset.
We're participating in democracy right now, Tim, because people cannot participate in their democracy if they don't have access to high-quality information and good discussions on issues that matter, and that's what you get here on Busted Pencils 3 times a week and every Saturday.
Man. And with that, Jacob, you know what that means. Now is time for your moment of zen. I started studying history with one view in mind, to look for answers to the issues and problems I saw in the world about me. Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Classes in Session. Hey, make sure you hang on for Friday, Jacob, Producer's Choice, Saturday, one full hour, yes, of Busted Pencils across all the civic media radio stations, wherever you're at. Come back again on Monday for Home Room. And Jacob, the other thing too, it's the holiday season, everybody. Busted Pencils, whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's the December, January holidays, we wish you safety, happiness, and just some good old-fashioned, nice fun with family and friends, and even your crazy uncle who you politically disagree with. Give him a little bit of a break this holiday season.